Blog Talk Radio.
All right. I say welcome, welcome, welcome to every one of you that are with us tonight, streaming on the World Wide Web somewhere. And it doesn't matter where it is you're streaming at out there, but we welcome you, and we're glad to have you with us. Now, I know from my personal effects of what I'm doing here, we got our wonderful friends and partners with us on Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, we're rolling over here on YouTube, so we've got all of our YouTubers that are with us on a regular basis. And thank you for that. And we got the foundation folks, and that's the Zoomers. Brother Roger, say hello to everybody.
Howdy, howdy tonight to everybody.
Howdy, howdy, God's howdy, howdy, howdy.
God's love to all. God's blessing to all. Thank you for being here tonight.
Amen, and amen, and amen. Now, hold on just a second here. Got to send another text out, letting everybody know where we're at. Whoops, that didn't work. So we welcome you. You know, we've had a very, very, very interesting study. The last little bit here, we've been studying the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's one of the most powerful forces that there is to study. And, you know, when you start breaking down the kingdom of God into the reality of where the kingdom really works and how it works, Jesus said, if you take the word and you shout glory, hallelujah, I got it, I see it, but you don't ever get the understanding, Jesus said, the evil one will come and snatch that word from you. And we just do not want that to happen in anybody's life. I don't want anyone to have the word snatched from their life. I want everyone to be able to see this for exactly what it is that God wants to do in all of our lives. And, you know, hang on a second here. Just had somebody say, send me the invite. You and I, we have learned a process here that many people won't take the time to learn. And therefore, because we did learn the process, we are that much farther along in our life than what some people will ever get to. Now, I know when I say that, some people say, well, Pastor, that sounds like you're bragging. It's not bragging. It's just the reality. In the day that we live, you and I have got to be able to look at ourselves and say, that's it. I'm going up to the next level. Even if I got a master technology in a whole new way that I've never mastered it before. And I know sometimes you just get straight up sick of technology. Now, you might say, even you, Pastor? Oh, yeah. I sit here doing this like I'm doing right now. And I'm like, thank God for technology. I mean, the number of people that I'm reaching right here, right now, at this very moment, tonight, it's absolutely amazing. And my ability that I'm using right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm sending invitations out to people all around the world for our program, right while I'm talking to you. So I love this technology. I love what it gives us the ability to do. And then it stands in the way. And you know, and then it's, then the challenge is, oh yes, thank you, Jesus. I love this. I want to, I want to have a splaining session with somebody right now. Quit trying to make this difficult when this is probably one of the easiest processes and tasks there is on this earth. And you're making it complicated for what reason? I don't know. I don't understand it. I command you in Jesus' name, stop making it so difficult. Stop making it so difficult. And you know, then people say, well, Pastor, you got a bad attitude. No, don't have a bad attitude. I just know how easy this stuff works. And yet, you know what? Yet here I am talking to you, sending out my notifications, letting people know, hey, we're here. This is going on. We'd love to have you be a part of the program. And you know what's pretty cool about all this is that you and I have the ability to reach out so far. We have the ability to reach out so far around the world when we do this. And all of a sudden, the world becomes, I don't want to say small, but it becomes reachable. There's the better word. It becomes reachable. The world actually becomes reachable to you, where you can actually reach around the world and change people's lives. And tonight's message is the greatest force on the face of this earth is righteousness. That's tonight's message. The greatest force on the face of this earth is righteousness. And we want every one of you that's ever been a part of this with us to join in and enjoy this program, enjoy the time of study. As we do all the time, we're going to go right into the Word of God. We're going to speak His mighty, awesome, powerful word, and we're going to help you see and know who God is. I don't know it all in any sense of the word. I don't know it all. But I do know this. I know how to find God. I know how to open up this book, hear the word of God, and then go and do what it is that He said to us to go do. And so we're glad to have you with us. God bless you and your family for all that you've helped us get accomplished. You know, now, let me talk a little bit about program on Saturday when we were a part of Lou Engel's big communion service there in Colorado. Now, that might have been new to you, and that kind of a process might seem completely foreign to you like that. But I'm going to tell you something. What that man did is what you and I have been believing God to do for our whole time here while we're doing this. I'm telling you right now, what he did on Saturday in Colorado in that communion service that lasted 7 hours, literally that video is 7 hours long. What they did there is what you and I have been praying in our morning prayer program for 2 years. You and I, in the realm of the Spirit, paved the way for that process to happen so smoothly for them on Saturday, and it's you and I. We're a part of that mighty, awesome, wonderful, amazing team of people. Well, it's not a team of people. It's the amazing body of Christ that literally is making that happen, like literally. And thank you for being there. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you, really, to all of you. Thank you for following me for 2.5 years and staying faithful to this prayer ministry. The interesting things that you and I have to continually overcome is that we'll look at what God's doing and say, we've been doing that so long, we must not be doing it right. And it's not true. That means that we say, when you say that, it means you're saying, I really didn't function in faith when I said it. Because if you functioned in faith when you said it, then you're operating in 1 John chapter 5. Go there with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15. Now, I'm not telling you you don't have faith. I'm not in any way browbeating you at all. I'm encouraging you to hold the line. That's an interesting statement. Hold the line. 14. 1 John 5, 14. If somebody will type the verses in and help us create a verse list, that's a wonderful thing. We always love it when that happens because it keeps everything current for the person, for whoever it is that's coming in. And they can just look down and say, oh, that's where you guys are. Now, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, well, you and I can change that word in that verse right now. And since we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask. Now, this works personally for you and I. You've got to get this revelation in you that God is inside of me. It's one of our first verses tonight. That God is inside of me, living. I am his temple, and he dwells in me. And as the moment I speak a word, it is by his direction, and it's going to come to pass. So it works personally. But notice in these two verses that the Apostle John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says us and we. In order for you and I to get anything accomplished on this earth, we've got to join together in agreement with other people. God's going to send you to a body of believers and tell you to get connected. God's going to cause you to be dependent upon other people's spirituality and strength. No man is an island unto himself. Now, I know I'm like you. I've seen those Facebook, Instagram posts that says, would you give up your cell phone and all your technologies for a year if you could live in this place and this beautiful cabin out in the wilderness alongside of a stream, beautiful trees and, you know, the whole thing. Yes, yes. We'd all say, yes, I want to go live in that peace and quiet for a year. But I'm going to tell you, long before that year's up, you're going to start saying, where's the humans? Because God made us to need humans. You might say to me right now, Pastor, I don't like humans. I know. And there's some humans I don't like. Seriously. And there's some humans I actually hate their actions. David said, I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not cling to me. I hate that. I hate people that are betrayers. I hate that. Let me say it differently. I hate the betrayal. I don't hate the person. I got enough sense to say that person is continually showing betrayal. and that they don't put any roots down and they just keep hopping around everywhere. I'm going to put my roots down. I'm going to get connected. I'm going to be a part. I'm going to get established. I'm going to let somebody school me, train me, and disciple me. And nobody's going to move me away. I don't hate anybody. I hate the actions of those that go away. But I don't hate the person. I love them. I want to see them change. But it's time to put some roots down and be established in the things of God. And anyways, I'm not preaching, but I guess I actually am preaching. This is just the warm-up. This is the bowl of soup in the first course of the meal. Evening, Angel Collier, you're here. Glory be to God. You can keep a running verse list for me over there. Thank you, young lady. We really appreciate it. We call you healed, healthy, whole in your body right now. Claim it in Jesus' name. Jesus said, this is a healing room, and we call you healed. And it's done, just like it was first time we said it over you 2.5 years ago. First time we saw you and prayed for it. Now, so knowing this, that we have this confidence, I said all of that to say this. What you and I have done and been faithful to say and do on our morning program is the foundation of what Brother Lou Engle needed to pull that off on Sunday or Saturday. I know that we are one of thousands of ministries that's praying for him. One of thousands. But Brother Lou's not going to look at one of those and say you're not important. Because where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, we get great things accomplished. And the spirit of confusion, which has its roots in this, also in the spirit of affliction, which is a spirit that continually causes people to be sick, people to be down, people to be depressed, people to be broke and impoverished. It's a spirit of affliction. It didn't stop you from being born again or filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, even flowing in gifts of the Spirit. But it afflicts your soul so that you never have a day full of peace, full of power, full of growth, and full of accomplishment. And I bind you, spirit of affliction, spirit of confusion. You release your grip on every one of these who are connected to this program, who are a part and partnership to the community of faith. And I command your grip is broken on their life, and they see it, and they know how to confront you. And by the name of Jesus and the word of God and the blood of Jesus, they will withstand you straight to your face. And according to the book of James, when we resist the devil, he flees. That's not James. That's Peter. According to the book of First Peter, I'll get it out. First Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee. Let's go there. First Peter 5. Through 11. My Zoom doesn't have the password. Thank you, Michael. My Zoom doesn't have the password. Huh. Let me see if I can figure out what that means. What does that mean, Michael? You need a password? It didn't come through in the text? Hold on. 1 Peter, just work, okay? You're working right now. That's that meeting ID number, I believe.
Yes. That's what it is.
Thank you, Roger. Somebody help me know where I'm at.
1C9, capital B, little J, W.
Oh, that's not in there. Hold on. Hold on just a second, Roger. Say it again.
1, capital C, 9, capital B, little J, capital W.
1C9BJW?
9BJW.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother. I think that's what you're looking for, Michael. And I appreciate you putting in that, brother, because I just sent that to a whole lot of people, and they're probably all saying the same thing. Well, Pastor, you sent it to me, but I don't have any password to get in. That's very interesting. 1 Peter 5, don't worry, this isn't the message. This is the appetizer. This is just the soup and the hors d'oeuvre. Ready? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? His empowering presence that empowers you by the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish on this earth exactly what God wants you to get accomplished. And it's your assignment every day. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Thank you, Angel. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let me say it again. Don't you make God humble you. There's a whole lot of people that says, oh, God, just humble me. No, you're not going to like that. You're not going to like that. It's going to be a whole lot easier if you will just look yourself in the mirror every day and say, I had enough of you, Buster. Quit making a mess in my life, and I humble you now. Look at that verse. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. It doesn't say humiliate yourself. It says humble yourself. Be willing to put somebody else first. Be willing to not be front and center. Learn to be silent rather than just a jabber face. Humble yourself. Just be humble. Let another person talk. Let another person go. Be humble. Casting all your care on him. 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in this world. Now, I was looking for that verse in James. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Well, get them both. James 4, 7 and 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's just for everybody. Draw near to God. You draw near to God. You do it. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now that you got verses 8 through 10, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You and I, on our morning prayer, have lived in a state of resistance against our enemy. And therefore, no matter what he has brought, we just resisted it. We resisted the pandemic. We resisted the government oversight and over control. We resisted that. We resisted the actual bug, the virus. We resisted that. We've resisted cancer. We've resisted confusion. We've resisted fear. We've resisted sorrow and loneliness. We've resisted sickness and disease. And as we've resisted it, it has to flee. It must flee. Why? Because when you and I, men and women of God, are standing in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and his blood, there is nothing our enemy can do to us to cause us to fail or to fall. Zero. There's nothing. And now, if you haven't been a part of that communion service by Brother Lou Engel on Saturday, Communion Colorado, or Colorado Communion, whatever it was, I encourage you, Communion Colorado, I encourage you to take some time. Now, let me say this about this, and then we're going to move on to our word. Now, you might look and say, Pastor, you sound like you're already preaching. Sort of, but really this is just the opening, helping us deal with what God showed us on Saturday. Now, watch this.
What was that name again?
Communion. Wait, hold on. Communion Colorado. Hold on just a second. I will I'll paste it right here in the notes, in the comments.
And the person's name is Lou what?
Lou Engel. Because about a year ago, Sister Sunday, Sister Felicia, Brother Dan and I, Sister Leanne, and Donna Howie Schubeck, and somebody else, I forget who it was, we began to follow a couple of these prayer movements so that we could stay in agreement with them and stand together in agreement. Brother Lou is one of them, and I never broke that barrier of the enemy trying to stop me from getting in to stand alongside of this man. But Saturday, we broke it. Sister Leanne and I was here at the house just doing what we were doing on Saturday morning, and it's like it popped on at about, I don't know, 12:30 something, and they're like, wow, what's this? And then it took about two songs to realize, wait, let me see what's going on. So I went and looked, and then I realized it was communion to break the power of abortion over the state and communion to draw the body of Christ together. And I'm like, man, we got to be a part of this. Well, then as we began to study the whole thing, and we was there for literally 6 hours of it, you realize God has led this man to lead probably 10,000 people there Saturday into one of the greatest communion services you'll ever be a part of. You can't go there for 15 minutes of, let me hear a worship song, let me hear a praise song, let me have communion, and then I go. That's not going to be this case. When you get there, you're going to spend some time there. And so I encourage you, you might go and say, if you're busy in your heart and in your day, and you go there, you're probably like, no, Pastor, I'm just not getting what you're getting. Well, it's not because it's not there. It's because you got a bunch of stuff. And It's not that you can't receive from it while you're doing daily work, but you got to say, now, Father, help me get past my busyness and that in the background, because I want to know exactly what you're doing here. And this is probably one of the most amazing communion services I've ever been in. And it literally lasted for 7 hours. It literally lasted for 7 hours. But when you see from the start to the beginning how God orchestrated the whole thing, all of a sudden you realize, wow, God set up praise, set up worship, set up repentance, set up the word, set up more praise and worship in the midst of it all. And then as it came time to enter into actually receiving the body and the blood of Jesus, oh my goodness, was there ever an amazing anointing that came on that time of communion, led by an Anglican and a Messianic Jew. It was amazing to see what God did. And I encourage you to stick with me. Now, I want to say one more thing about it. On our afternoon praise time, worship time, I'm going to divide this up into 6 one-hour segments. So today we started with, we did 1 hour. Tomorrow, we're going to have hour number two, and I'm going to start at hour two, and we'll just let it play. Let it play as long as you have the ability. Wednesday will be hour number three, and I'm going to take us in so that we can begin to say, wow, look what God is doing, and look at what he's saying. I was up all night long in the presence of God, receiving from the Spirit of God and saying, God, help us. This is October 10th. We don't even have 30 days left before this next midterm election. And it is of absolute importance that you and I are in prayer, speaking boldly in faith every single day between now and then over our own states, because it is literally of that much absolute importance that these abortion bills fail in our local states right now. And if you weren't a part of this morning's prayer session, I encourage you to go. We put our faith in agreement with all of you, Brother Dutch, Brother Lou Engel, and Brother Sean Pop. What that just did is put our faith in agreement with about 1 million people. We're not 1 million people. We're 2 or 3 gathered together in his name. But when God has 10,000, 2 or 3 gathered together in his name, he connects us with 1 million. And the enemy's work is defeated on this earth. Evening, Rebecca. Evening, Sister Sunday. It's good to have you with us. Brother Dan's over here. Got Blog Talk Radio handled tonight. That's awesome. Good to have you over there, brother. Brother Dan must be out in the cornfield somewhere. Got cell signal, but not the other signal. Brother Michael, I haven't seen you into the Zoom yet. Did it work? Do I need to give you some more? Give me some more heads up so that we can make it work for not only you, but for many other people, because we want to make that work in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. So, circle the wagon, and what was all of this about? Well, it was very great instruction about resisting the devil. Great instruction about coming together and knowing that God heard us. But I want you to understand, God is asking you and me to go in to another level of God in this next 25 days before the midterm elections and stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that we can see things change. That midterm election is going to happen on November 1st. So we have exactly 21 days, 20 days. Well, tomorrow will be 2 weeks. Tomorrow. That ain't 20 days. 10, yeah, 20 days. 3 weeks, not two. There we go. So thank you for your faith and agreement. Join us every morning, Monday through Friday, and we're going to be praying for this great nation, praying for the elections. And now, I want to, Brother Dan, thank you, Dan. Oh, it's actually the 8th. Thank you. Appreciate that. Brother Dan sent me. Where did you send that? Dan, can you send that article about abortion again? Dan sent me an article about the abortion bill. And I want to bring that up. Here it is. I got it. Thank you, brother. I want to bring this up to you. This is for those of you in the state of Michigan. And I can send this to you. All right? So.
Send it on Messenger for me.
Say again?
Say it on Messenger with me.
Okay, I will.
I've gone ahead and I've talked to other people. And at Proposal 3, he has it worded differently. And all like a trick proposal.
It has something. All right, so listen to what this says. I'm just going to read this. The activist falsely claimed the amendment merely places the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Roe versus Wade back into effect. Nothing is farther from the truth. If passed, the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, if passed, enshrines in Michigan's Constitution the most extreme abortion law in America on a par with China and North Korea. The expansive, vague, and broad terms used in this new law are not defined. These new fundamental constitutional rights override any conflicting statute. In other words, it's saying this one is above them all. We're not going to take the time to go back into each one and say that's not constitutional, that's not constitutional. This one just says, I'm the king, listen to me. Number one, it allows a minor child to have an abortion without the knowledge or consent of the child's parents. Now, all of us agree that a minor child shouldn't even be pregnant. But here we go. And they are. And they're saying that means your 13-year-old kid who's been pushed to sexuality in school has sex with somebody, and your 13-year-old daughter can go have an abortion. And she's not required by law to tell you, mom and dad. Number two, because of the all-encompassing exceptions, the amendment effectively guarantees the right to abortion at any time, right up to the moment of birth. Further, it effectively guarantees the right to partial birth abortion and the right to terminate a child's life in the womb at any time based upon the child's disability, gender, race, or any other reason. We are known as a nation that has liberty and justice for all except for the baby in the womb. And one that is completely formed, a living, breathing human with feeling and pain and understanding and receiving love and affection from the mother can be killed. They can partially deliver the child and kill it. That's number two. Here's number three. It overrides parental rights in directing their children upbringing and education, especially in the area of sex education. Public schools will now have the legal right to refuse to inform parents about any issue relating to reproductive freedom and sexuality. Parents will no longer be able to excuse their children from sex education classes. Minors will have their own fundamental right to reproductive freedom separate and distinct from his or her parents. Minors. That means if your daughter developed and had sex and got pregnant at 11, she could literally have an abortion without you knowing. If she decides at 9 she wants to change her sexuality, she can go do anything she wants with a teacher's help. The teacher can do it, but not you. Creates a right for a minor child to procure a sex change via permanent and irreversible sterilization without the knowledge or consent of the child's parent. This demon wants blood, the blood of our children. Now, stick with me. It allows school clinics to provide contraceptives to children without the knowledge or consent of the child's parents. When I was growing up, pornographers targeted the 11-year-old boys. That was 50 years ago, guys. What are they targeting today? They have dancing transvestites in kindergarten class on poles. These people are wicked.
What?
I saw it with my own eyes.
Dancing transvestite?
On a pole in the kindergarten class with the kindergartner sitting all the way around her. Or it. Yeah.
Terrible.
That's why you've got to take this information and not just pray, but fight. You got to fight. Your vote counts, but your fight counts. If you put this publicly on your Facebook or one of those, they're going to take it down. So find a way to get this to everybody that you know. Not publicly. And go stand and put this in the hand of everybody. It must fail. And our prayers must be so much greater than what they're doing. Remember, our prayers are heard in heaven and their words are only heard by man on earth. Keep listening. Number 7, it's not done. Prohibits enforcement of criminal statutes against statutory rape or child sexual abuse, female genital mutilation, and other statutes. In other words, sex between a 12-year-old girl and a 45-year-old man will now be protected by this new right so long as the child consents. Like it says, it's worse. It's as bad as China and North Korea. Don't be alarmed. I'm not done yet. 8, invalidate age of consent laws that right now are protecting minors. There's no age limit in the RRFI. Numerous other laws regarding bans on state funding of abortion, parental notification, parental consent, informed consent, 24-hour waiting period, will all be invalidated immediately. 9, provides the new right to reproductive freedom to all individuals, including children. The word individual is not defined. All children are individuals. This new right intentionally and by design does not exclude minors. 10, elevates any type of sexual activity relating to reproductive freedom to the status of a fundamental constitutional right. This will include transgender rights and many other forms of sexual expression. Minors will be entitled to access puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, gender transition surgeries, and similar medical treatment as they all relate to sterilization and reproductive freedom. It's not done. Creates a new undefined anti-discrimination protection. It requires government enforcement of these radical new fundamental rights. It requires government enforcement. The Gestapo will be out. This is why our prayer in the morning is so important. And this is what the enemy wants to have happen every time you get a prayer team together, a prayer ministry. He wants us to begin to think, we've been saying this over and over, and we see no victory. But we've had victory. I'm going to play it for you in just a minute. I'm going to play something. Everybody just stick tight. I have a really good message. We might not get to it. I know I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Number 12, abortions may be performed by any health care professional. The phrase care professional is not defined in the amendment and is not limited to doctors.
Wow.
It protects abortion providers by prohibiting the state from penalizing, prosecuting, or otherwise taking adverse action against somebody who performs an abortion. Prevents child protective service workers and other mandatory reporters from fulfilling their duty to report child sexual abuse because of the so-called consent of the minor. For example, if a school counselor discovers that a minor is having sex with a school teacher, the counselor is now prohibited from reporting such sexual abuse because the minor can claim she's consenting and exercising her new reproductive right. Guarantees the right to reproductive freedom to all prisoners, foster children, and individuals under the care of the state. Means the foster care situation is going to go from horrendous to absolutely perverse. The new amendment guarantees many new rights will be created by the activist courts based upon this new autonomous right to reproductive freedom. It's not limited only to the areas listed in the RFIFI. The list is not exhaustive. What about gender reassignment surgeries, sterilization of men or women, related medical care? The possibilities are unconstrained and endless. Proponents claim this amendment will not affect or invalidate other laws. Yet the Michigan Board of Canvassers disagreed and stated plainly in its summary of the RRFI that it will invalidate all state laws that conflict with RFFI. It is sick. I got to find this one more part. What I'm trying to find is the place where it says that anybody can perform an abortion. So, I will send this to you if you would like to have it, and we'll send it across. Now, to all of us who just heard this, I just received a text from somebody about what I'm saying right now. They're not worried the woman or our child's health. These laws are written that you, the parent, stand against the system. Then they take the child from you, and they are paid $44,000 a child that they get from a parent. And then the child goes into sex trafficking. If you think I'm off in what I'm saying, now let me just say this for a minute here. This is the Great Lakes Justice Center that put this out. Great Lakes Justice Center. And it's called The Perils of Proposal 3. The Great Lakes Justice Center has been fighting against these type of bills. And they've been fighting for the rights of children and homeschoolers and Christians and believers. And they're an amazing organization, the Great Lakes Justice System, if you want more. Now, listen to this statement. If you're like, this is so horrendous that I'm destroyed. That's exactly what our enemy wants you to say. Because he wants to come at you with such force that you lay down and do nothing about this. Some people who may be hearing me tonight, and it's not most of you that I can see, I know all of you guys, you're mortified by this. Some people have been duped into believing that you and I are some weird old white people that just don't care about a woman having the right to her body and all that. And that's so far from the truth. But that's not what that is about. That law is Baal, is the demon Baal and Baal worship, demanding blood. And as 66 million of our children already aborted and murdered is not enough blood, it demands more. Now, I'm going to play for you something. Those of you on YouTube, amen. Amen. There's so many couples out there would love to adopt. Abortion should never be an option. Well, but people shouldn't be considering it as their contraception either. But in the 60s, when they violated everybody's humanity and made the pill for the women so you don't get pregnant, then that took your God-designed reproductive organs that were designed to create a family, to give God a family that could be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. It was designed to destroy the family, and that's what they're trying to do. And they've destroyed many families. It was designed to destroy the black race. Now, you don't have to believe me, and I ask you not to believe me. Go search it up. Go search the founders of this thing and see what they were all about. They were trying to destroy anyone who's called a black person. That's where the most abortions are done, are in major cities in the black community. Now, Jesus help me. Matter of fact, all y'all pray for me, because I got a really good word today that I'm supposed to be saying, but I, glory be to God. we're doing the work that God's given us to do. Hold on now. Let me pull up a video here I want to play for you. Now, in the midst of all of this that I just read, let's talk about what God has done to fight against this. All right? I played this morning, and I'm believing God for the ability to play it right now today without them taking it away from me. Okay? Isn't that just something? Well, huh. Everybody say it. Technology work.
Technology work.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I want to play this for you because in the middle today, in the middle of all of this, of course, God is in the background. One prayer group in the capital of the United States of America has been there for 25 years praying in every session of Congress, literally, for 25 years. And speak in the name of Jesus and the word of God over this nation. Can you imagine where we'd be had that person not obeyed? And when God gave her the vision, she said, well, how could I, who would ever want to go do that? And today, 25 years later, they have literally prayed in every session of Congress. Now, you and I have seen the United States of America fall very severely in the last 25 years. Can you imagine what would have happened had she not been there? Now, in the background of all of this, God is working a plan that will overcome all of this wickedness. Watch this video at the very end of this great communion service that happened on Saturday. And you're going to see, you're going to get a new revelation of the song, The Blessing, by Carrie Joby. I'm all tuned up. His words might not match the sound, but we'll get it there. Listen to what he says about the song, The Blessing.
And can we also show some gratitude to Lou Engel, Pastor Palimas, and the whole Communion Colorado team? What an incredible day. We're going to end with one final song. And this was a special request that I made because there's a story that goes with it, and I'm about to change this song for you forever. At the beginning of 2020, Carrie Jobe and some other artists got together to write a song. And they turn to number 624, where you have the Aaronic priestly blessing, and they set it to music, and churches all over America began to sing that song, The Blessing. Do you know this song? Well, then COVID hit, and the whole world went into lockdown, but all of the churches went into webstream mode, and this song, The Blessing, got piped into every home, I believe, in America for 2 years. And then Roe v. Wade ended. On June 24th, 6/24. Do you catch that? The priestly blessing is number 624. For 2 years, that blessing was sung over America, and then God kissed us from heaven by overturning Roe v. Wade on 6/24. And I thought, I bet 100 people have told that story to Carrie, but I'm going to tell her anyway. And we got that story to her, and she says, oh my goodness, no one has pointed that out. That's so meaningful because my mother was counseled to abort me. And I just think this is such an incredible kiss from heaven, that God would raise up someone saved from abortion to write a song that is for such a time as this. And we have to believe that God has now heard the prayer of the blessing. Amen. Can we sing this together? And I truly want to sing it together. Grab somebody that's next to you as we end this day. Join arms. I want us to end in this moment of unity as we sing the blessing. Amen.
Now, I can't go any farther with it because they don't let it. But I want you to do it. Sing it with me. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now watch this. Peace, strum, 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 piano, piano, piano. Amen. 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 May his blessing be upon you. Okay, they had a few more amens. May his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. All right, we got to get caught up. I'm being a little slower than them.
Agreement.
Amen. And their children. Now, everybody just pause for a minute. I want you to see what this guy just said to us. We sang the death of Roe v. Wade in our churches, and it didn't have one word in it that said abortion. We sang the ending because we sang the blessing. Look at what it says. May his favor be upon you and on 1,000 generations. May his blessing go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Now watch. I finally caught up with him. Now, I encourage you to go watch this because they can't stop you from hearing it. I just can't play it because it's a copyrighted song. And as soon as that copyrighted song begins to be played, then they shut off the YouTube channel. They did it this morning during our prayer. But remember, as soon as I stop the copyrighted material, then the program will come back on. So if you disappear, just stick tight and it'll come back on. But look what it says. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations of you and your children. Well, we're only at like 125 generations since Abraham. If you and I will sing the blessing and sing the blessing and sing the blessing and sing the blessing, then there's nothing the curse can overdo to, can do to overtake the blessing. Woo! Somebody ought to get up and jump and shout and dance about. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, I'm going to stop that share and come back here and be with you guys. Brother Dan's still with us over there. Good to have you with us, Brother Dan. Holding down Blog Talk Radio for us. Now, I put the link in the chat message on YouTube and on Zoom. Okay, the link to this event. Now, let's go back and start talking about how much God has been setting this up. And I wish I could play for you the content that I played this morning, but I'm going to have to just tell it to you because something this morning got our YouTube shut off, and I'm not going to do that. So, and I made phone calls today to actually get permission to restream their stream so that I can put it out to us and encourage people with it. But as it stands right now, I could only do that on Zoom. So you're going to have to take my word for it. In 2002, God called Brother Lou Engel, who is behind all of this, to a program that was called The Call, calling young people to come together for the purpose of prayer. They told him he was crazy. He told him it wouldn't work. Told him you couldn't get young people to do it. The only problem with that is up until the point where The Call came on the scene, Ron Lutz was doing it every single summer, taking between 4,000 to 8,000, 10,000 kids around the world, teaching them to love God, walk with God, cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. So 20 years ago, God spoke to Brother Lou Engel. At that meeting was Sean Falk. Most of you know Sean, who was the young man with the long, curly, blonde hair that was on the streets of our major cities during COVID having worship service. Sean was in that initial meeting with Lou Engel in 2002. 20 years later, Sean had 4,000 people during the pandemic on the Capitol lawn on the night when they were confirming that lady who was a Supreme Court justice who was going to be the tipping point to stop abortion. Sean and 4,000 people were worshiping on the mall of the United States Capitol proclaiming, it is done. Abortion is done. Abortion is done. Watch this. Lou Engel, by a dream, got the idea from God to put a piece of tape across their mouth and to have a silent, whatever they call that, march. But they put a tape over your mouth so you can't talk, because what it's saying is you're silencing the life of the baby in the womb. Watch this. This is how much God is working behind the scene, and I want you to be able to hear them say it, but you're going to have to, I'll have to send you the links because I can't play it with YouTube and these other networks going at the same time. Now, watch this. Brother Lou Engel had a lady from Nigeria send him a message or see him or something and say, God showed me in a vision, take the tape off your mouth, put it on your forehead, and write, it is finished, about abortion, that it would be overturned from the Supreme Court. And it happened. You and I stood in faith. We sang the blessing to our children and their children to a thousand generations. Now, let's just pause for a moment of prayer and pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, may this song be pulled out of the back and brought to the forefront in every church, in every ministry, in every prayer group, and played and sung and proclaimed from the rest of this month of October, clear through this midterm election. May we sing it and sing it and proclaim it, that your blessing is on our children to a thousand generations. You go before us. You're all around us. You're behind us, and you're within us. And our children, not only those who are alive, but those who are in our womb and in the womb of our children and grandchildren, will be protected. And this wicked perversion will be driven from this great nation and will no longer have this scourge. And we will end this wicked, vile, perverse murder and sacrifice and the spilling of blood of our dear children in the mighty name of Jesus. You ready? Send a revival of righteousness. Send a revival of righteousness. You want to say it? Roger and Rebecca, you're with me. Turn your mics on and say it with me. Send a revival of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
Across our nation, Jesus.
Across our nation.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's why the Holy Spirit has had me say over and over and over. That's why we start our program with the same confession from the book of Ephesians, the same prayer every day, the same statement over the fivefold ministry, the same statement over the Patriot prayer of dedication. Help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. The Civil War was a battle, a human engaged battle between the North and the South, the defenders of slavery and the defenders of freedom, and a million men died. Well, you and I are in a mortal battle, and it's a supernatural battle where we are driving back the force of darkness on this earth. That darkness has no ability to destroy the work that God has given you and I to do. We're the ones with the restraining order. They have no authority. Write it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to go down here to verses 5 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2:5-12. This is your restraining order. Now, here we go. Verse 5. Do you not remember, when I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining. Paul is talking about the Antichrist and the time of the end. Now you know what is restraining. That he, notice that he is not capitalized. He may be revealed in his own time. That his is not capitalized. That's the Antichrist. Circle those two pronouns. Draw a line out in your Bible and just write it in there. This is the Antichrist. That way, the next time that you're studying, you can say, I know this is the Antichrist. Keep reading. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, that one's capitalized, who now restrains, will do so until he, capitalized, is taken out of the way. So, verse 6, that he don't have the restraining order. Verse 7, that he does have the restraining order. It's capitalized, so it's talking about Jesus. The only difference is Jesus was taking off the earth 2,000 years ago while the disciples stood there with their jaw hanging down saying, there goes our pastor. He's flying up in the air. Jesus was ascending to the right hand of the Father, catching away what's happening right in front of their eyes. But see, this says he is still restraining. Well, how can Jesus be restraining, except through you and I, the body of Christ? Say it again. I am the restraining force on this earth. If you are not saying anything out loud with your mouth against this, you are not a restraining force. You have to open up your mouth and actually say a word. You can't just look at the Bible and say, I agree. You got to open your mouth and proclaim those words. That's why I have us pray that prayer against the isms and secular humanism almost every time we come here. Why? It's all of us opening up our mouth and proclaiming it. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. Three of us, he didn't give us the next number because he knew we would limit him. And Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Well, when Carrie Joby and Pastor Stephen Furtick and her husband and the drummer and the guitar guy got together, and all five of them came together in agreement to write a song, God filled their mouth with words, but they had to speak it. They had to proclaim it. They had to write it down, and then they had to get it out. And it was important on that day that that church, that body of Christ, proclaimed that song to the whole world, that the body of Christ would send it all over the world. And people who would stand against you and I because they're a proponent and they believe in God, but they're a proponent of abortion, sang that song and helped us establish that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. Now, 3 weeks away is another election, and all across this nation, you and I must be certain that these bills fail in every single state. Now, that's why when I put this confession up, I need you paying attention and saying those words out loud every time to the best of your ability. Now, I'm not manipulating and controlling you and saying if you don't, you know, you're going to hell. Blah, on all that stuff. But every time we say it, the more of us that say it, the more power and authority and dominion and strength that it has. Because, say it with me, I am the restraining force.
I am the restraining force.
See, all of a sudden, when you hear this message, we're no longer hiding in the back somewhere wondering if we got any strength. We're no longer down under the circumstances. We're coming up saying, get off of my life. You don't control me. I am a child of God. Yeah, but Pastor, What if God wanted to put abortion on us to teach a lesson? My God in heaven, will you finally drop that stupid religious garbage? You will be destroyed by the spirit of religion if you hang on to that wickedness any longer. God didn't send this. God doesn't send sickness and disease to you. He is the healer. Put that on, my God. Woo, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. It is time that you and I stand boldly in every part of our life and say, I have a restraining order. I'm going to just use this as my restraining order. It's my Victory magazine from Brother Copeland. I have a restraining order. You cannot come another step in my life. Here's the proof of it. It's right out of God's holy word. Some of you have never gotten that bold. And when you did, somebody said, sit down and shut up. Who do you think you are for being that bold? I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm not going to die by some wicked thing that comes from the enemy and destroys me. I am the force of God Almighty on this earth. Well, Pastor, you seem real strong today, but we've seen you a few days be a little less strong than this. Well, I'm going to tell you, burning on the inside of this being is a fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. And on those days, you might not have seen me like this. I'm going to tell you, on the inside, it was screaming and forcing everything that was trying to be down on top of Sicily Ann and I and stop us. It was us saying, get off of our lives, because we're not going to be put down. On this day, October 10th, I want you to see this. There's no pride in this. There's no arrogance in this. I'm going to tell you right now. If you only knew. Hold on just a second.
I thought Supreme Court was the final word. Why is this proposal on a ballot? This is wrong.
Well, your statement is true, Roger. Your statement is true. But that's their process. Inundate the system with so much that nobody has the ability to stop it and overwhelm the system, and then it's law. It's wicked. It's perverse, and we call for the judgment of God on every wicked. That's why that statement binding the isms and secular humanism is so important for you and I to proclaim together in agreement every single day. Because that's what they're doing, is they're just flooding the system, overwhelming it. The Supreme Court doesn't have ability to say no, 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 no. And they got wicked judges that just moving on through. And so you're right. This can't be legal. It's not legal. But if people vote for it, boom, it makes it legal. And that's not right. Now, I want you to hear this. Because every one of you have a portion of this victory. 931 days ago, we began this ministry. And most of you were there. 931 days ago. 931 days ago, we began to say, Jesus, do something and use us. I'm not certain what day it was that we actually began to receive communion, but it wasn't too many days into it. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 930 days in a row, you and I have proclaimed the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ to be working in me and my family and my children for 930 days. Thank you. But I got a word for you. because you've done that, you have 930 days of sowing your faith, sowing your being, sowing your agreement, sowing your prayers, sowing your presence into the work of the ministry, and you have 930 days of seed in the ground producing a hundredfold return that causes your life to be blessed spiritually, physically, and financially beyond anything you've ever seen in your life. But if you don't ever say, God, what about it? It won't come to pass. I could write you $1 million check. But if you don't cash it, it's just a piece of paper. If you don't actually take that check and do some work yourself and put your name on it and go to a bank and validate it with all the proof that would be necessary for $1 million, it will never get into your account. And the word of God is no different. You can see every promise there is in the Bible. See every one of them. You can agree that they're there. You can shout and jump like I am. Woo! Look at what we got. But if you don't ever begin to say, Jesus, I have a hundredfold return on 930 days. I have a crown in heaven with every person that has been affected by this ministry for the last 900. I have a jewel in my crown for those. Glory, hallelujah. And Jesus, you promised a hundredfold return now in this lifetime for me to use on this earth to preach the gospel. And I want my hundredfold in my hands so I can preach the gospel unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. I saw something today in my studies this afternoon. I've been studying all day how Brother Lou got to this point of this big communion service. And at one point I saw he had an event in Kansas City, Michigan. Or Kansas City, Kansas, Missouri. The exact spot where God told us to go 2 years ago. Had we pushed off the severe financial pressure that was doing everything in its power to hold us down and still haven't even done one session over there. And we would have been a part of the initial breakthrough team to set that city up for that great event. God's wisdom, setting up his plan early before the event ever happened so that greater victory can happen. You and I are staged by God to do greater things than we've ever done before. But if you and I don't ourselves look at this and say, wait a minute, 930 days I've been putting my faith behind this ministry and I have no more harvest than this, God's up in heaven going, hello, I have a whole barn full of harvest that's supposed to be on earth, and you're not asking for it. It's standing here waiting for you to ask for it. That harvest ain't going to do you no good in heaven. We need that harvest now on this earth so that we can seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things added to us. That hundredfold return, he looked right at Peter and said, Peter, everyone, just go there. Ain't no sense of talking about it. Just go there. Mark chapter 10. I know there's a whole lot of people like, man, here you go in a hundredfold. Well, you know what? Don't have it. Be broke. Sit on the sidelines and watch. We're going for it because it's in this book and we're doing the work. We might as well have all of the abundant blessing of God so we can get the work done with great power. One of the things that happened to Brother Engel in the midst of all this, God told him to do one of these big events, and he said, wow, I don't know how I'm going to get that done. A few days later, a lady called him and said, Brother Lou, God has told me to pay your salary for the next year. I forget what he said. 17 years later, she's still paying my salary. I'm not saying that so one of you will pay my salary. But help yourself. Help yourself. Ask God to bless you so abundantly that you can pay my salary, Sister Leanne's salary, and five other people's salary. Why not say, Lord, bless me that much? Wow, Pastor, what would I do? I couldn't possibly do that much work. See, you're trying to do it all in your own strength rather than in the grace of God. Watch what this says. Chapter 10, verse 23-30. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus saw it and answered and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, what's that mean? Eye of the needle was a small door and the big gate on the city. They closed those gates at night so the enemy couldn't come in and take them over. And that little door, if a guy came through with his camel, pack, that he could make the camel get down on his knees, unload the camel. That way they could see what he had. Camel would go through the door, and then he would load it back up. And what Jesus is saying is most rich people won't unload all their stuff and let me see what's in their heart and put it back together and be used by me to be a blessing to the kingdom. 26, they were greatly astonished. The disciples with Jesus were greatly astonished when Jesus is talking about somebody with riches having a hard time getting to heaven. Now, don't miss the truth that's behind it. They said, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter said, we've left all to follow you. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, everyone who has left house or brother, sister, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's, they will receive a hundredfold return now in this time. You got to take those negatives, the no and don't and won't and not out. Take them, just take them out and let Jesus say what he's trying to say. That's bad translation. Jesus is saying, if you give up your life for my kingdom, I'm going to bring it back to you now in this lifetime, a hundredfold return. And what did he say? Not peace, joy, love, happiness, and gentleness. Houses and relationships and business. Houses, mother, sister, brother. Land, business, and you'll be persecuted. Well, you're going to be persecuted anyways if you're a Christian. Yes, those are the verses, Rebecca. So you might as well go ahead and get the hundredfold. See, nowhere in there. Nowhere in there is he saying, I'm going to give you back peace and joy and happiness and the fruit of the Spirit. He's saying, what you gave up, your time, you people who have come here have given up your time. And what he's saying is, I'm going to give it back to you. Not so you can be a rich fat cat, so that you can preach the gospel. Guarantee what's going to come is your life is going to have zero financial battle and burden ever again. Because you've learned to sow. Well, I got a word for everybody that's here tonight. You've all sown somewhere in the neighborhood of 900 days of seed. Be a bad farmer and let your harvest die in the field. Brother Roger, I probably better have a great amen right now. I need a great amen. Somebody get up and jump and shout and dance about. Whoa!
A great amen. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir. I was taking a big drink of water. And it wasn't right to spit it all over everything. Pastor, how did we go from fighting the battle for abortion to a hundredfold return for me? Because if you and I don't have the hundredfold, we can't get up and go do and go fight. If you can't leave your house because your car won't run or you don't have enough fuel in it to go do something, then you got to get up more in your hands so you can get up and go do something and help us win this battle. And if it's not you that's got to go do it, and God says, send $100 to that guy, send $1,000 to that guy. God can tell you to give money all day long, but if it's not in your account, you can't give it. He said, go on the radio. Okay, I'm going on the radio as soon as that money is in my hand. I can't do it before then. Because he who is... Jesus said, it doesn't do any good to start something and then fail because you didn't take proper understanding at the beginning if you could get the mission accomplished. Well, it's going to cost $500 a month. It's not there yet. And until it gets there, we can't begin that. People say, well, yeah, but Pastor, as soon as you start ministering to people there, they'll start sowing. Well, if that were the case, that needs to happen now. The same God that gives you the call is the same God that provides it. That's why you and I speaking about finances and tithe and offering and receiving offerings and people sowing into the ministry is one of the most important things. But as you know around here, I'm not going to come on here every night and beg for money. I'm not going to do it. I'm not a beggar. I'm a child of God. Sister Leanne and I speak hundredfold return. We speak, we don't get salaries. We speak salaries for us that will pay us to be in the ministry. And then we're speaking right now, three more employees that could stand alongside of us and help us get this work of the ministry done. We say it almost every day. We probably do say it every day, but I'm going to say almost just in case we missed a couple of days. Why? Because you can't ever get it until you start speaking it. You'll never get there until you speak it every single day as if it's already done. You ready? May his blessing be upon you and 1,000 generation to your family and their children and their children and their children. We just said enough years of life in America that all of these people trying to fund this perversion will be dead in their grave and on to judgment before Almighty God by saying to 1,000 generations, on my children, their children, and their children, that my great-grandchildren, all these political people in the way will already be in the grave because they are too old and their sin will cause them to fail. May God help you come to your senses today and turn from your wicked way so that you can become children of Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name.
Agreed, amen.
Amen. Angel, you are covered by the blood of the Jesus. Jesus, heal this child from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Woo! My testimony is we went from paying $3,000 a month to only paying $430 a month. We are officially getting out of debt. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. I got some testimonies coming, but it's not time to share it yet. I keep trying to tell you, and God's like, no, just leave it. It's coming. Just let me do my deal. Let me do my deal. So I'll tell you some more testimonies in a little bit. Now, let's grab another verse here. I am so excited. I'm so motivated in God by his perfect plan, his all-encompassing plan. And Dan, if you got a word you want to say in all this, put your hand up. You're welcome to say it. Brother Michael, I never saw if you got back here. I know you said you had to go to bed early, whatever, but if you need help, man, make sure you let me know so that I can help you get connected. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 10. No, we'll go there in a minute. Go with me to Colossians 1. And Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Thank you, Father, for a powerful program tonight. Father, we bless Brother Lou Engel and all of his prayer teams. We bless Brother Dutch Sheets and all of their prayer teams. We bless the Friday night call people and all of their prayer teams. We bless Dr. Barkley, Brother Copeland, Dr. Winston, and all of their prayer teams. We bless every one that right now tonight somewhere in the United States of America is standing in front of a group of people in the political world saying stand against abortion. We proclaim that every threat against their life is covered by the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the angels of Almighty God. Money is in their pocket, courage and boldness in their soul, fire in their belly, and the righteousness of God established across this great nation. May politicians learn between now and the election to say, let's take communion together as brothers and sisters. All y'all joining with us, if you want to stay after we're finished, we're going to have a communion service up here. God, in the name of Jesus, let it break out all across this nation, a revival of your righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus. Colossians 1, 25, of which I am become a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Paul is telling you, God revealed a mystery to me, and I'm sharing it right now with you. Verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confident, convinced expectation of accomplishment, hope, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Two nights ago, you'll remember, we were in John 17, and Jesus said to us, the Holy Spirit said through me to us, God gave Jesus the glory of righteousness. and Jesus functioned in it. Jesus gave you and I the glory of his righteousness, and he made us into his righteousness, and we get to function in it. Paul said, this is the mystery. Christ in me, leading me from inside out. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
I mean, the hope of glory.
When you and I get this revelation that at the moment of conversion, Jesus came to live in us, and he came with his righteousness, and he gave us the assignment of Father to be perfect as Father is perfect. Oh, yeah, and he gave you his righteousness so that you could be perfect as Father is perfect, because Father gave Jesus righteousness, the glory, and Jesus gives you and I the righteousness, the glory, and you have the ability to be perfect like the Father. That Paul said, this is a mystery that was reserved for you and I. Romans chapter 10. I don't have time to preach. I just am. Romans chapter 10. 8 through 13. Romans 10, 8 through 13. And these will be some of our last verses. I've become wise to say a little more than this is my last verse. Who knows? It's God.
Six more hours.
for those of you who weren't, haven't listened to that whole communion service on Saturday, at the end, the man says, how many of you are ready? 6 more hours. And the whole crowd went crazy. Romans 10, 8. But what does it say? Well, we got to find out what it is. So back up to verse 6. The righteousness of faith. Look at that verse. Open your Bible. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach, that if you speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. I believe in my heart, I speak with my mouth, and I am saved. That is how your whole Christian life operates. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I believe in our heart and speak with our mouth, and we're born again. We're filled with his blood, washes every sin away. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God makes you. He installs in you righteousness. Righteousness is installed in you. Not yours. Not mine. Not community of faith. Not the first church of fire and signs following. Jesus' righteousness that he got from the Father. And it's called glory, is installed in you because by faith you say, but I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive you. And when Jesus comes in, he brings all of the force of who he is with him on the inside of you. Some of you are, it's finally soaking in. You mean, I don't have to keep striving to be righteous to prove to God I'm something? No. Prove to God you know how to pick up Jesus' righteousness and hold it up to heaven and say, Jesus, look at this righteousness I'm functioning in. And then take it every time the enemy shoots a fiery dart. Hold up your shield of faith that says, Jesus' righteousness. The enemy can't fight against Jesus' righteousness. It came from heaven. The Father gave it to Jesus. Jesus makes you into it. So you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How? Speaking it with your mouth and believing it in your heart. Look at verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. The righteousness of faith has a voice. What is it? You. Woo! Roger, big amen.
A great amen.
Come on, Rebecca. How about you too?
Come on, Rebecca.
I'm here. It just takes me a minute to grab my phone and find the button.
The great amen.
What amen. Nice speaker.
Now.
Okay.
Now.
Because I can hear you right away.
Now watch this. As I said a minute ago, this is the beginning of the last verses. Let's grab one more important verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. No, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen, Angel. Amen, Sunday. Anybody else on YouTube, shout amen. Wait, every one of you on YouTube right now, shout amen. Every one of you that comes in the future, shout amen. Put in timestamps so other people can get the revelation that you're getting while you're listening to these programs. Watch this.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:21. Thank you, Rebecca. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He lived on this earth above sin. He was the perfect high priest. No sin. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, or the sin sacrifice for us. Because Jesus didn't sin, so God didn't make him sin. He was the sin sacrifice. He carried all the sickness, all the disease, all the sins, all the perversion. He carried it on his body to hell and dropped it where it belonged. The spotless Lamb of God, a lamb standing in the middle of demons, unafraid, with the spotless blood on him, no sin in his life. Now look at the last half of the verse. That we might become. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus makes you into his righteousness. Woo! Woo! Look at verse 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Possible to do it, evidently. Don't receive this grace in vain. Realize God gave Jesus glory and his righteousness. Jesus functioned in that glory and righteousness. And in John 17, Jesus said to the Father, that glory which you gave me, I am giving to them. All right, I got a Missourite with us. Well, Pastor, how do you know that it's righteousness that's the glory? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because I was already done with all my verses, but you gave me permission to read one more. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Glory be to God. Somebody just shout somebody. Woo! Look at this. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. That him's capitalized, Jesus. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Everybody pay attention. I'm reading to you the Bible. To her, the bride, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. You and I living in righteousness, Jesus' righteousness every day, is what's going to adorn the bride. It's what's going to adorn the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you, and everybody's like, wait, hold it. I thought I'm the bride. Well, we might have to study that doctrine again here sometime in the future. Because search the words, the bride of Christ, and see if you find it in the New Testament. Because it just ain't there. Say it with me. I'm the body of Christ.
I'm the body of Christ.
I'm the body of Christ.
So we're actually part of the groom. And our righteous acts are going to clothe the bride, the Lamb's wife. Our righteous acts.
Righteous acts.
Are the pure clothing.
Are the pure clothing.
Of the Lamb, of the bride of God, of the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Right. The Lamb's wife.
Well, in case some of you have forgotten what Dr. Sutton taught us, Revelation 21, and this will be the last verse. Revelation 21. Verse 2 and 9 and 10 and 11. 2, and it's actually 9 through 21. Revelation 21, 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came to me and talked to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
The great amen.
It's right there. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her light, and was like a most precious stone. And then when we back up to what we just read in chapter 19, and she was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I know some of you are like, Pastor, you done messed up a whole bunch of stuff for me. I didn't mess nothing up. I read you the Bible. Let's believe the Bible. And from what I just said, let's go be diligent students that say, why do I believe what I believe about this? Why? Don't look at me and be angry. Look at yourself and say, why do I believe what I believe? Do I actually have a verse of scripture about why I have this religious doctrine in my life? And if you come to the understanding, I don't have a verse of scripture about what I believe, thou must be therefore very wisely. And forsake the form of godliness that has no power. Go away from that stuff. You can go to the internet and find 10,000 verses that will cause you to believe any false doctrine, wickedness, and perversion there is. And they'll all tell you it comes from the Bible. But when you take the harmony of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and proclaim, this book will never contradict itself because it's God, that'll cause you to change your belief systems. And it's belief systems that cause you to be weak, frail, and immature. My closing statement, and then communion. Say it with me. You ready? Say this with me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As the living word in my life.
As the living word in my life.
And I grow and develop.
I grow and develop.
I grow and develop.
Just like you're showing me every day.
Just like you're showing me every day.
You ready? Now here's our declaration. I will not continually believe.
I will not continually believe.
Anything that causes me failure.
Anything that causes me failure.
Or confusion.
Or confusion.
Or a religious indoctrination.
Or religious.
Any religious indoctrination.
That has no power.
That has no power.
Because you are all powerful.
Because you are all powerful.
And you live inside of me.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
For those of you that's with us and you're like, I ain't never been a part of anything like this, Pastor. I know. But guess what? Neither have we. We show up here every night and say, Jesus, do something.
We like it.
We do like it, don't we? Matter of fact, we not only like it, we love it.
Isn't
that a hymn? Say again?
Isn't that a hymn about amen, amen, and amen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and depending on which one you're talking about, you can go as severe as the Messiah, because he, in the Messiah, the oratorio written and composed by George Frederick Handel, the song Amen, which is all it is, they say, is Amen. That part of the oratorio lasts for like 5 minutes. Amen, Amen. It goes for 5 minutes. And when you get done singing it, everything in that building is tingling with the presence of Almighty God, because you just got done singing the Hallelujah chorus, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen, 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 amen. And amen and amen. It means,
I love that song.
It means so be it, and I'm going to do my part. Now, here we go. It's time for communion. If this is new to you, welcome. We're glad to have you. If you say, Pastor, I'm having a hard time receiving in all this, send me a text. Send me an email. Let's talk. Let me help you be a part of this, especially if God keeps bringing you back here. Why? Because he wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be a part of us. Well, how do you know that? Because he keeps sending you back here. Don't worry, I just ate a couple of Reese's Pieces. They were sitting there and I just took a couple right before communion. It's not wrong. I think it's actually holy.
I won't worry.
Now, what we're going to do, we're going to read the communion verses. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation, give you 2 minutes of instruction, and then receive the elements. That's how we do it. It's not how we do it in other places. But remember, if you're a member of the body of Christ, or if you've come here tonight saying, that's it, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, your heart's already been given to Jesus because your determination tonight. We'll pray the prayer of salvation in just a minute. And everybody within the sound of my voice will be qualified, will find themselves worthy to receive the communion elements. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it. Whoops. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. There's often, in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus telling you and I to do this often. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His redemptive work until he comes. Let a man, verse 27, let a man, or 28, examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How can I have boldness, Pastor, when I'm being judged? Because you know Jesus wiped the slate clean, made you white as snow, and as he is on the throne, so are we on this earth. He's the head, we're the body. Verse 18, love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, the trauma, because there is no fear in love. Trauma and fear and torment, I bind you now. Your power is broken over every person who's within the sound of my voice. All of us stand together in agreement with it right now. And you can never, again, keep these from knowing God. no matter whether they're with us live or they come in the future. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, pray the prayer of salvation with me. The prayer of rededication and the prayer of hallelujah. I'm a child of God and I'm speaking my faith. Roger and Rebecca, I'll receive you saying it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16. I know when I receive you.
I know when I receive you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's your chance. Make a bold declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands up. Just say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling me with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to the family of God. We are glad that you are here with us. This is no happenstance that you came by here tonight and joined in on this program. On any other day when you clicked this link and said, I wonder what this meeting is all about. I just noticed they didn't put my title up for the program. Anyways, you just prayed a prayer. Hey, Sister Elaine's with us all the way from the Pacific. Woo! The island of Samoa. Love you, ma'am. God bless you for being here with us. Now, you in that prayer went from darkness to light. Darkness because you had sin. Light because Jesus just came to live within you. You went from fear, because sin produces death and fear, to faith, because Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came to live within you. That just happened. Jesus just washed every sin away, threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, and installed in you, made you into his righteousness, just like the Father did for him. You're a brand new creature. You are a being that never existed before today. You are, 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man who's in Christ is a new creation. Right here, right now, today. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. And now you get to walk with God. The church, you didn't get a religion. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get anything but the holy, living, breathing word of God. Jesus himself just filled your life. From this day forward, what you do to walk with God every day is just walk with God every day. Somebody's like, but I know I got to have discipleship and I got to have classes and I got to go to, yeah, and I got to do that, and I got to do, did you hear what you're trying to do? trying to do in order to be. No, you are because Jesus made you. Now what you do is so you can become what it is God put you on the face of this earth to be. Every day, wake up at the beginning of your day, before you put your feet out on that floor, just say, Jesus, help me walk with you every day. Say, Father, I receive your leadership in my life this day. Because here's the deal. If you do that, I don't have to stand around and say, no, don't do that. Now stop it. Oh, no, don't do that. Now stop it. I don't have to do that. Oh, wait, I'm going to tell you something. I will not do that. I am here to lead you into the paths of righteousness where Jesus leads every single one of us every day. And because we're a body and a family, we link arms together and we stand united and we build a force and an army that cannot be overcome because every one of us knows the commander personally.
Hallelujah.
Woo! What's that do, Pastor? That makes it so when God gives an assignment here, all of y'all have already received it from him and say, yeah, that's it. Let's go get it done. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Because now I don't have to spend 87 hours trying to convince everybody I got a good plan. No, you walk with God. Go ask him. And he's going to say, let's go get it done in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you might say, Pastor, I know I got to grow in God. Yes, you do. Connect to this YouTube channel. Hit click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. Every time we come live, be with us. Listen. In order to walk with God, you're going to have to let go of some of the stuff of the world. Just do it. It has no eternal value. Let go of it. Get rid of everything in your life that has no eternal value. If it's not going to make a difference the day you stand before Jesus, get rid of it. Why? Because you're going to stand in front of him and he's going to say, what'd you do with my book? Well, you know, I watched the Wheel of Fortune in Jeopardy every day, Lord. I was very faithful to it. It made me happy. And he'll say, how did that help you go win your community? I don't have any problem if you watch the Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. That's nothing to me. It's a simple illustration I can give that anybody in America would understand because that's what comes on at 7 and 8. And they're pretty decent programs. Mostly they're not perverse like most of the rest of TV is, but could you give that same 2 hours to the Word of God and grow and develop in him and learn how to help other people know our God? Yes, you can. And it's well worth it because when you study to show yourself approved unto God, workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're going to continually be bringing forth in your fruit in your season. Everything you do is going to prosper. Your leaf will not wither. You will be strong and powerful and healthy, and you'll be blessed in God. You truly will. And we're glad to have you with us. If you send me an email, I got verses I'll send you. I got videos I'll send you. I got playlists I can send you to help you grow in God every single day. And as we keep going, we'll turn every one of these teachings into 10, 15-minute segments where we can use that as a powerful force to disciple new people as they come in. Just takes the work of editing, putting them like they need to be, putting in some timestamps and making it happen. God's already given us the plan, showed us how to do it. Father, in Jesus' name, send us the provision. We receive it done, and the people that want to be a part of the work of the ministry every single day in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's receive our communion elements together, except I'll be right back. I got to run and get some grape juice. I forgot my communion cup again tonight. Brother Roger, I'm going to start assigning you to remind me.
Okie dokie.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I also say, praise him.
All right.
All right. That was a quick one.
He's back.
Thank you, Elaine, for being with us from all the way around the world. What an awesome situation. Thank you for your prayers for the United States of America. We know people are praying all over the world, and we want to have you pray for us because America's in a way. And it's been said for many years, with America, so goes the world. Well, America's not going to this wickedness. We are established in righteousness. And there's the number of people that is promoting this perversion is very few compared to those of us who are actually righteous. There's 100 million of us that are saying no to this, and they're not listening. But our voice is heard in heaven, and their voice is only heard by man on earth, and therefore they fall apart. Here we go. Hold your items up. I just went to preaching again and can't do that.
Why not?
It's time for communion. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Say this with me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus,
you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
Right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together.
Body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Now, listen to these statements, because every one of them are a verse of scripture that proclaims the blood of Jesus and everything that it does for us in our life. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I love this one. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
Because Father wants me there.
Because Father wants me there.
I receive grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
I receive grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass away.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
Now, just picture it in your mind, in your spirit. Plague's trying to get on you, but you just spoke the blood, and it bounces off of it, and it has to pass on over because the blood is covering you. Ready?
Yes.
And cannot be on me or my family.
It cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his blood shed in our life.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Well.
Glory.
So sing, Rebecca, sing. Right? Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, let's get our closing verse in. Anybody seen Phyllis yet tonight?
I don't see her.
I seen her on YouTube, but not here. Might still be a little rowdy there in her home. Thank you for the wonderful blessing, Elaine. We receive it from you. And we bless you and your family there in the Samoan Islands. God bless you. Brother Julian and Bamala, we bless you. Mary Fernandez, we bless you in Singapore and in Malaysia. Brother Tanvir and in Pakistan, we bless all of our brothers and sisters from around the world. Those of you, we don't know how to say your name, we bless you. We bless you in all 50 nations of the world where this message is going every single day in Jesus' mighty name. Our closing verses are found in Jude, verse 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit and in tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassions. Who's the some? The wicked people that you read about in the book of Jude. On others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. 24, unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty dominion and power, both now and forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Hold your hands out and say it with me. I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
Into the kingdom of God tonight.
Into the kingdom of God.
May every person within the sound of our voice come to know you completely. And walk with you every day.
And walk with you every day.
I receive my hundredfold return. Because I was faithful to help this ministry function tonight. I receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
Amen. And amen. And with that, we bid you adieu. adieu. For you and you and you. Goodbye.
Have a good night.
Bless you, Rebecca. Thank you for all your help. Brother Roger.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Brother Dan, thanks for holding down Blog Talk Radio for Sunday. Elaine, Sister Angel Collier, bless you. Let me just scroll back here. Brother Michael, hopefully you were able to be connected with us. And for all of you who will come in the future and see this YouTube video, if you're viewing this during the 7 years of tribulation, find every video you can of me. Study them diligently, receive the word of faith that comes off of them, and then begin to say, God, help me walk with you like these people did. I'm going to tell you, there is a playlist that will have all of the videos from the evening program. It's called Establishing Your Faith. Every night I add this message to that playlist. So it'll end up having 900 or whatever. I don't know what number we're at, but it'll have all of those in there. And you'll be able to find those. Adieu to you, Elaine. I don't even know how to spell that. How did you know how to spell that? That's awesome. Our morning prayer program has a playlist. Read the Word that we're going to do here in a few minutes has a playlist. And it'll be a blessing to you and your family. If this is a tribulation, you already missed the rapture. Don't miss the next one that's coming. On the midpoint day of the tribulation, you will be raptured up to heaven and you'll join the rest of us in heaven for the last half of the tribulation and then return with Jesus for the 1,000-year reign. But, man, don't miss the rapture. If you did, the Holy Spirit's still there. He's still helping you. But you're going to have to work diligently because all of the righteous have left and now wickedness is doing its best to reign the whole world. And God's pouring out his wrath. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. Go ahead, Rebecca. Roger, you ready? We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Can I give you an update?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, that friend of...